Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The East, you know, in the top, you know, 5-6, you know, it's all 2-3 games out. You know, a lot of teams are playing really well. So we just, you know, have to finish strong. You know, obviously we have a game home, then we go West. And but, you know, you have to play against the best teams to get there. For us, it's important that we do that. But yeah, it's going to be tied all the way until the end. We had a very good start to the season. Hopefully we can finish strong so we can be in a good spot going to the playoffs.
Vooch! Nikola Vucevic. After the Bulls beat the Detroit Pistons, which they needed to, and that brings us to tonight, where they must beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. Welcome and welcome back. Saturday Suckage, Steve Rosenblum and Trash Panda, Adam Studzinski over
hey,
there.
Hey, Steve, hey. Before we get into this, we have some mild breaking news from Schefter, who does not get the first name Adam anymore. I've removed him from the court of Adams.
Uh-huh.
But from Schefter, breaking news on the score brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Protect your privacy online for free with DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. According to Schefter, the Cowboys are finalizing a trade to send Amari Cooper and a 6th-round pick to the Browns for a 2022 5th-round and a 6th-round pick.
So the Bears don't have the capital to do that, but Amari Cooper was talked about as a target because they were looking to, okay, well, maybe Ryan Poles will just bust in there and say, we're all in on him. No, that was the other Ryan. Okay. Moving right along. Tonight, 6:45, Chuck's pregame show, Bulls, Cavs. The Bulls went into Detroit, and they had to beat the Pistons. They just had to. They were playing good teams. They lost to all of them. They had a losing streak that had been at 5 games. Could not go on. They are playing the Cavs tonight at the United Center. The Cavs lost last night in Miami. They are playing the second half of a back-to-back on the road. The Bulls are, I guess, as fresh as they can be. Rick Camp, who joins us now on the Scores Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. This is a must-win for the Bulls. Yay? Nay?
It's pretty important. I think that's pretty fair to say, considering where they are in terms of the Eastern Conference standings, jockeying for position, probably to be whether you face a team like Boston in a 4-5 or one of those top three, whether it's Miami, Milwaukee, or Philly in a first round series. So I think it probably about as close to a must win, just kind of looking at the schedule the rest of the way. This is at least circumstantially, because of, like you mentioned, the second night of a back-to-back from Miami, about as good of a time as you'll ever see Cleveland, and with Jared Allen out as well. So yeah, the Bulls should get this win, but I've got a DeMar DeRozan nugget for you that I had honestly forgotten that I had written down somewhere. So I found it this morning when I was doing my betting prep, and hey, might as well throw it out there. Steve, do you know, or Studs, do you know the last time the Bulls won a game when DeMar DeRozan did not score 30 plus points?
Oh, do you have a guess, Steve?
I'm going to say in the Jordan era.
So is that's a good guess. They haven't. I'm going to guess maybe December.
Not that bad. February 1st against Orlando. And in that game, he had 29. So,
well, you're technically correct.
Yes.
So what does that have to do with the over and under about where did he open today in points?
I actually haven't even looked at his number because I have no interest in playing it.
Why, Rick? You could lose your degenerate card by not playing that.
29 and a half is the number.
Oh, well, that's perfect. That's the last. That was the last number he didn't score 30, right? 29 yeah. and a half. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not going for that one. But I think it's interesting that the Bulls are still taking, it takes this much from DeRozan. It took him coming back in early from his rest last game against Detroit and scoring 36 for them to get a 6-point win over the Detroit Pistons, who, mind you, playing a lot better lately. Tough to play much worse than they were before.
Yeah,
but they'd won 6 of their last 8 going into that game. But it's just a sign of just how little margin for error the Bulls have at this point, and especially with the tough schedule, that hopefully getting Nate Caruso back maybe tonight, maybe next game against Sacramento on the road trip, that'll help out a decent amount. But it's tough to know what to expect from him or Patrick Williams when he's able to come back. So, yeah, if you can get a team that's down on their luck a little bit at the moment, it's pretty critical to get those wins when you can.
Can't be something that's been bugging me. Well, not just me, but all Bulls observers in the last, month or two, is the lack of being able to get a rebound on when they're on defense. There's at least one of those games where they lost against the good teams that they can't beat, that if they'd have just been able to get a rebound on the defensive end once or twice here or there, they probably could have won the game. So can you explain do you know why it's so difficult for them to prevent offensive rebounding?
I think part of it does go back to, as much as you maybe don't think of Caruso or Ball for that reason, they're both pretty solid rebounding guards. So when you have those guys willing to crash in a little bit to get the defensive boards, like, that matters. That absolutely matters for the Bulls. And then when those guys were healthy, they also had less possessions ending in shots anyway, because the Bulls were top 5 in turnover rate forced. So that meant you had obviously just less shots, because there were more possessions ending in turnovers. Like, I'm looking at the Bulls numbers right now, and in the last 2 weeks, at least basically since the All-Star break, they're 19th in terms of allowing offensive rebounds for the opponent. So essentially their defensive rebounding rate is a little subpar, which, considering what it had been when they were successful, it was pretty darn good. So it's a marked drop again, another thing on the defensive end where they've dropped a good amount. So even when they're getting those stops, but man, it just feels like a lot of those offensive rebounds they're allowing are off of three-pointers, and the ball lands in that between the free throw line and the three-point line area. That's a spot where you could always see a guy like Alex Caruso cutting across, reading the ball off the rim, or Lonzo Ball would be there for something like that. So for those specific types of rebounds, I think that matters. And it's also just a function of still a lack of size, because I don't put missing those rebounds necessarily on someone like Vooch. A lot of it comes down to the other guys, your wing players, maybe not necessarily reading the ball well off the rim or making the necessary type of effort to get those boards.
Talking with Rick Camp, talking Bulls basketball here. Rick is a voice of the Bulls postgame show. The pregame show, Chuck's broadcast, starts at 6:45 on these very airwaves. The Score, 6:45, Chuck Swirsky. Bill Winnington will call the game at 7, Bulls, Cavs. And you could see at the end of the Detroit game, and Zach LaVine, God bless him, he's just going to play no matter what. And he's going to be the Black Knight from Monty Python. He's going to, where he's going to lose an arm or a knee, and just a flesh wound. No, come back here.
We'll call it a draw.
Yeah, and he will have no limbs, and he will still be fighting to play. He is, bless him, one of those guys that has to be leashed and has to be overseen and has to be sat down for his own good. Does he need to be sat down? Because he's listed on the injury report as questionable against the Cavs, he and Caruso. Dosunmu and Vucevic are listed as probable. Is this something that you think the Bulls need to risk sitting him down to make sure he's ready for the playoffs? Or is that too big of a risk and now you're in the play-in part of the playoff?
I tend to think they're okay for avoiding the play-in at this point, because Toronto is not playing well enough to make up that kind of ground. As I'm looking at it right now, it's 4 games between the Bulls and the Raptors. So for the Bulls, even with this schedule, to lose 4 games to Toronto over that period of time would be pretty surprising, but I just don't think they can sit down LaVine the way they would want to. In terms of, I'm sure if they had their druthers, they would shut him down for a week or two and make sure that, you know, at least get him to a higher percentage. He's not going to get to 100 or anything like that, but get him at least a little bit of rest. But until they get guys back, and even when they do, they're not going to be able to sit him down for maybe a game here, a game there, you know, one part of a back-to-back, something along those lines. And that's the same thing with DeRozan. They've mentioned, like Billy Donovan's mentioned, how they want to keep an eye on everybody's minutes. But at this moment, considering the playoff push that they're on, they just can't afford to do that the way they would want to right now. So I think they're gonna absolutely have to find spots. And I'm sure LaVine's knee is probably going to tell them sometimes what those spots are, whether they're swelling or whether it's just, you know, barking at him enough where he has to be like, listen, I just straight can't go today. It's going to have to happen at some point, but it's not going to be an extended thing like it probably should be. And credit to LaVine for pushing through it as much as he is. He's had a couple really solid performances, but yeah, it's tough to see him out there trying to do what he needs to do for them, but just knowing that certain points, that whether it's the back or the knee, it's just not there.
I'm curious how much you think the return of Caruso and eventually Ball and you know, even Patrick Williams can really improve them. I know that I don't know how many people keep saying, you know, that helps on the way, helps on the way, helps on the way. And what you were talking about when I asked you about rebounding, it sounds like you think that Ball and Caruso being back can improve, especially their lawn rebounding. But how much do you think they can really help turn things, and when I say turn things around, I say get things back to what they were doing before this tough stretch in a five-game losing streak?
I think they're going to help a decent amount, because if nothing else, for when you're thinking the remainder of the regular season, those guys being back and being able to take back at least some of their minutes takes guys that are at the bottom end of your rotation and cuts them out. So that's another way to think about it. Like, Troy Brown's played a little bit better lately. He's been a little more consistent hitting some shots. But if he's having a bad night, you don't have to stick with him for 15 to 20 minutes. You know, if he has a really bad 4 or 5 minute stretch and you're like, nope, had enough of this, you can afford to sit him down and not deal with that. Like, that was part of the thing before, like, Kobe White came back and things like that, where it was, oh, God, you have to suffer through these Matt Thomas minutes because there was nobody else to take the spot. Now, in theory, when those guys come back, there'll be people to take those spots. Might not be the same skill set. It might create some different friction in terms of other aspects of the game. But getting just better players back is going to help in that regard. And then just what they're able to do defensively. I don't necessarily think they can get back to what they were before everything happened, because obviously there's so many more factors playing into it at this point. Mm-hmm. But just the fact of getting Caruso and his smarts back on the court, especially defensively. I brought up this, I think, last night when I was on. You don't remember half the things you say, like, the second you leave the studio. Yeah.
It's all a blur.
You're talking to a guy over here, Studs, who does overnight, so he really doesn't remember.
I'm not even
he
sure
was
what day
giving
it is.
Out his family's landline number. That's what he was giving out. So
yeah, he thought he was giving out the phone number. He gave out his social security number. Yeah, I'm sure at some point. It's like, when did I get? Why are all these princes from different African countries emailing me?
Why is my Liberia credit crap all of a sudden? I don't understand what's going on. Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't get that yacht. I got the smaller yacht. but with Caruso, I brought up the example of, there were times where pick and roll is happening and Vooch's guy or the big man, whoever is in, whether it's Thompson or whoever the big man is, they're going up to set a screen for the ball handler. And what Caruso would do is, because obviously they were trying to get the big man in space and get them one-on-one, is Caruso would communicate and be like, hey, you take my guy, I'll get up in the action. So then, if nothing else, if the opponent's hell-bent on getting Vucevic or whoever the big is at the moment involved in whatever action it is, it's going to take them more time. They're going to have less time on the shot clock to be able to do that. Or they just continue with the action they were going to run anyway, and Caruso is there to switch. So, like, those kind of smarts, and even just, it's nebulous and it's hard to know exactly what it means and how much it helps, but having that dude that's clearly the leader on defense, that tries that hard, that does help everybody know where they have to go, that's going to help out at least a decent amount, because DeRozan and LaVine have such an offensive load that they have to carry that, while, you know, like, I like to crack jokes on their defense from time to time, just from time to time, definitely not all the time.
Not every time, yeah.
Not every time, that they have a lot to do offensively where you need other people to pick up some of the slack defensively. So that's just kind of what it is, and those guys can do a little bit of that, and that's going to make Vooch's job easier too.
So, I'm sorry, Steven.
No, go ahead.
I want to follow up on that and ask, when they do get these guys back, specifically Lonzo Ball, what do you think that does to Io's minutes? Because we've seen, I think, this season that he deserves to be on the floor, but Lonzo Ball is the better player. Of course, he's going to get the more minutes, and, you know, Caruso being back as well would hurt. But I'm wondering what you think we see for Io getting into the game once those guys are back.
It's definitely going to cut into his minutes, there's no doubt. And this is assuming when they come back. And for Lonzo, we still don't know when that's going to be. We don't have a great indication. Assuming those guys get back and they're starting to look at least like mostly normal for what we expect from them, I think Io's minutes are definitely going to get cut. But I think whose minutes are going to get cut the most is probably a guy like a Javonte Green or a Derrick Jones Jr., because at that point, and mind you, this is kind of like doubling down on their rebounding issues, I think the Bulls are going to play smaller at that point, and you might see a little more DeRozan at the four, LaVine at the three, and then two of those guards out there. Whether, you know, of basically the four or five guys that the Bulls can throw out there, you're going to see three of them out there at a time when it comes to the playoffs. Now, that's going to it's a whole ripple effect if it's going to have other issues defensively and whatever, and that's a whole thing for a different day when you know a playoff matchup. But that's probably what it's going to be. Like, Io doesn't need to be playing 30-plus minutes. Like, he's had some stinkers lately where it's, you can just tell the guy's kind of gassed. He needs a little bit of time. And like I mentioned before, of like, if he's having one of those games where for whatever reason he's a little passive, you can pull him off the court. You don't need him to be the dude and rely on him that much. He's been so much better than a 38th pick ever should be as a rookie. But when you're talking about playoff rotations, those get cut down real quick. So I think it's more going to be, if Javonte Green's not going to be willing to shoot anymore from the corner, that's going to be a guy that could get cut. Derrick Jones Jr., that's a guy whose minutes could get cut if they don't want to play him at the backup center, which I actually think they should play him at backup center a little more.
Talking with Rick Camp, Bulls, Cavs. Chuck's pregame show, 6:45 tonight, tip off at 7, the postgame show. And we, you know, it's recency bias, Rick, with the Cavs in tonight, and Caris LeVert is also not playing. Jared Allen is also not playing. And the Bulls need to win this game. They have the Cavs are on the back-to-back on the road, second game of a back-to-back. The recency bias of seeing the Cavs come in, coming out of Miami, which is just a tremendous, a well-coached team, as the Bulls know, and disciplined team, and a physical team. The Caruso factor for me looks like this. When Cleveland turns the ball over 18 times and gets outscored 30-10, for me, that's a Caruso factor. He makes those things happen, which minimizes your rebounding. You know, you minimizes the if you go small, it's just stuff that doesn't require being covering all 94 feet of the floor. You can catch them a little higher than that. I don't know what the metric is to do that, but for me, that's a Caruso factor. Am I just wishing this into existence? Am I imagining stuff that really wasn't there?
No, I think that's absolutely Caruso-type stuff. Like, that's the type of thing that he's going to help out with. So I think that's 100% fair to think that those things will improve with him. But it's still, he's a guy that's coming off the bench, and he'll probably be a guy that's in the closing five for the Bulls, because I could only assume the closing five for the playoffs would be Lonzo Ball, Alex Caruso, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Nikola Vucevic. Like, that's gotta be your closing five. And unless you have some crazy matchup. And I mean, if it's Milwaukee, like, let's say the Bulls are the six and they take on Milwaukee, who's the three or something like that. Well, then you're going to have a Giannis problem anyway. So I don't know what you're going to do there. And honestly, you're probably screwed if that ends up being the case anyway, even though the Bulls have played Milwaukee decently well so far this year. But I do think that that stuff is on Caruso. Like, that's more what you think of for him. But it's also, like, at least in the immediate, like, if we're talking, assuming he plays tonight, I don't know how many minutes he's going to end up playing. And then also, you're asking a guy that's been out for this long to basically be full tilt back where he was. Maybe his conditioning is pretty good, but it's still those live reps. So, but one thing with tonight specifically, if he's out there, Darius Garland is a player. He is so good. So to have a guy like Caruso to be able to, you know, make his life more difficult as opposed to Io, who's shown the ability from time to time to get torched against really good guards, that would be incredibly nice to have for tonight, because Garland's putting up double-doubles, like 25-plus points and 10 assists pretty consistently now. And that's a guy where if Ja Morant wasn't doing crazy Ja Morant things, Darius Garland to be the most improved player in the league.
Yeah, Garland had 24 and 10 assists last night in the loss to Miami, and Cleveland's lost 7 of 10, so the Bulls have to win tonight. But the pressing issue, the most important issue, is the question for Rick Camp, who is one of the co-founders and co-large men of the I'm Fat podcast. This was broached on Good Morning Football. Kyle Brandt had tweeted out, what chain restaurant will you go to war for?
Culver's.
Culver's.
I knew that was going to be your answer.
See, I didn't, because I, Kyle Brandt, I'm right with him with Fogo DeShone.
Have you ever heard Rick Camp talk about Culver's though?
I've heard him romanticize it. I've heard him fetishize it. I know all of that. We've had it. We've done that on that show. I guess I'm still surprised when given all, but it came like bang, huh?
Yeah, well, I guess I always default, because for the podcast, a lot of times we default to fast food. Mm-hmm. So I defaulted to fast food, and I think it's the best fast food chain out there. I haven't had anything that I feel like, okay, they kind of skimp on the quality of this item. Because, I mean, you could go spicy chicken sandwich, you could go butter burger. In terms of the sides, if you're a big crinkle cut fry guy, they got those right there for you. Mm. The cheese curds, the pretzel bites are underrated, and obviously the custard is good. So, yeah, it's hard to go wrong at Culver's. And I'm not a big fish guy, but I've heard, especially this time of year, that their fish sandwiches are pretty great.
So just because this is serious stuff, I want to share this with you. Rick, this is from J.J. Watt, a man after your own heart attack, that his wife is mad at him, and he tweeted out, just hit me with this line, Culver's ice cream. She specifically called this ice cream because she knows I hate it when she calls it ice cream, is no better than McDonald's soft serve. Wisconsin folks know that crossed the line.
Well, how are you even supposed to get McDonald's ice cream? It's never working. It's never first worked, of all.
But the fact that it was Culver's, it's like you brothers in cholesterol. That's where you are.
Yeah, that's why I don't trust athletes with a lot of my food takes.
No, well, he's okay with that. His wife was just a dig. Culver's concrete.
I know he is, but his wife is a professional athlete.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
right.
You know, she just wrong.
Saying that to someone from Wisconsin, too. Culver's is big up
there. That's
exactly
wrong.
Why she did that. She's, you know, that's it. That's
by
exactly.
the way, to the liars and the 224 and the 815 on the text line that are besmirching the spicy chicken sandwich from Culver's. How dare you, sirs? You are wrong.
Do you know who you're talking to?
That's right. All right. Rick, thank you. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate you guys having me.
Rick Camp, Bulls basketball, Bulls Cavs, Chuck's pregame show, 6:45. Chuck and Bill on the call at 7, and Rick on the postgame show. Postgame show will be after the game, hence the name, postgame show. And the Bulls got to win this game. So we come back. We have stuff to talk about, including tomorrow. We have to move forwards and backwards, so we'll talk about that. That's what tomorrow's all about, and then other stuff. I don't know what else we have.
I think I'd go to war for Taco Bell. I think that'd be my one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm okay. I mean, for me, it would be In-N-Out Burger, but it really isn't a national chain. But there would be it would be In-N-Out Burger. And I don't know if we have any more people who are listening while being high, but we'll see if the Wake and Bake Club while listening and responding to what Grody said. And we will also replay Steve Stone. Steve Stone was on Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw. And much happiness, much encouragement, much expectation for the White Sox. World Series, that's what we're doing this year. That's the way it looks. And explain to you why certain moves have been made and what you can expect from certain players you may have questions about. All that coming up on the Score before Saturday's suckage ducks out of here. We suck so you don't have to. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're bigger than U.S. Steel.
Look at you! Hyman Roth's been dying of the same heart attack for 20 years. That was Hyman Roth from The Godfather. Tomorrow, turn your clock back an hour. No, you spring ahead an hour. And turn your
spring
mind
forward, fall back.
Fall back. I'm always falling back. So you get more sunshine and more complaining about you lost an hour's sleep. So that's tomorrow.
Can't wait.
So you, springing back 50 years, 50 years tomorrow, The Godfather debuted. Look at the U.S. Steel. Actually, I think that was from Godfather 2, that cut you played. That was...
That's what the. That's what it says on the cut. I will openly admit to you now, and for everyone listening on the Score, I've never seen any Godfather movie.
You've just lost your guy card.
Yeah, sorry.
You're done. You've lost your sports radio card. It's mandatory.
I want to tell you.
It's mandatory. You don't need to see three. That, in fact, if you do, you'll also be thrown out of the Sports Talk Radio Club.
I've heard that
awful.
I've heard
stupid.
That three is like Rocky V.
You can't watch.
Which Rocky V is not a Rocky movie. It's its own little thing.
How do you not see Godfather and Godfather 2?
I don't know. My parents never sat me down to watch it when I was growing up. And so by the time I got to college, it was too late.
You don't for that. No, you don't. It's never too late. You watch it and you come across it at whatever point. You just watch it to the end.
I've never seen a lot of the gangster stuff. I've never seen The Sopranos.
Goodfellas?
Never.
Casino?
I've seen Casino. Casino's great. I like Casino. Although, if you'd have asked me that question like a month and a half ago, I saw Casino for the first time like a month ago. Maybe a month and a half ago.
This is sad.
And you know what's funny? My girlfriend
nothing
is the one that
funny.
Put it on.
There's nothing funny about this. No Godfather. Oh, my God. It's awful.
Sorry.
This is awful.
You also see Steve's reaction
awful.
Right now.
Leave the gun, take the cannoli.
It doesn't mean anything.
See, you don't even speak it. Mr. Corleone is a man who likes to get bad news immediately.
Well, that's why I gave you bad news immediately. I could have faked my way through this whole thing. You know that, right?
I know you couldn't. You would expose yourself at some point.
I can
point
fake my
time.
Way through a lot of stuff. All
right. You need Fat Clemenza up here. You know what? We're gonna need to tape a gun up behind the in the water closet. Oh my God! I don't want my brother coming out of there with his. I can't say that. Neither could AMC. See, this part of knowing what was said when Sonny is talking to Fat Clemenza, and I don't want my brother coming out of there with his a stick in his hand is what AMC made them recut. because AMC wasn't willing to replay the Raw unexpurgated version. This is really sad.
Well, I can only say I'm sorry so many times. So I don't. If it's required, then I guess
you're done. I mean, you suck even for Saturday Suckage. You've taken it to a new level. Oh my God!
I'll try to put it on the list to watch.
All right. So last weekend was the 24th anniversary of the release of. I assume you've seen this. Do not further embarrass your parents here. The Big Lebowski.
I don't even know if my parents have seen Godfather. I really
They're
don't
know. They're not on the show. Okay. The Big Lebowski?
Yes, of course I've seen Big Lebowski.
Well, don't say of course. You've already exposed yourself as somebody who's wildly ill-equipped to be a guy on the sports talk radio.
This specific, like, gangster niche, I just never got into those.
No.
Big Lebowski I got into.
You know, it should be required viewing for whoever gets these jobs. To be in this business, you have to know this.
Well, they didn't ask me that in my interview.
No, they didn't. Did you even get an interview?
For the score? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't know. There are times I wonder if they even bothered.
BMAC was the first guy I talked to, Brendan McCaffrey. That's how long ago it was. Actually, funny you ask, speaking of anniversaries, the anniversary of my first shift on the score is St. Paddy's Day, so 5 days from now. It'll be 4 years.
How did you end up starting on that day? Were all people calling in puking?
I don't know. Well, because that was... St. Paddy's was a Saturday, and my first shift was working the overnight Friday into Saturday with Chris Dickens.
Chef.
Yes.
You're working with the chef.
Yes. So he showed me the ropes. That was my first shift. St. Paddy. It was so specifically 1 to 6 a.m. on St. Paddy's Day.
So you were and then show I got, up at 1 a.m.
I got 3 hours. No, I showed up at like 11:30, I think.
Okay.
And then I got, after the shift, I went home and slept for like 3.5 hours, woke up, and drank my... Because it was St. Paddy's Day now, and my friend said, hey, come over, it's St. Paddy's Day. So I got about 3 hours of sleep, woke up, spiked my coffee, and went to my friend's house.
There you go. So how many years ago was that?
That was 4 years ago.
Congratulations on your upcoming anniversary.
Yeah, I'm graduating high school.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. You're not, because you failed The Godfather, you failed Godfather 2, you failed Goodfellas. It's really just a sad damn thing.
Oh, sorry.
I'm telling you. Oh, my God.
I'm actually not sorry. I've never had a desire to watch it. I'm just trying to piss you off now.
I just want everybody listening to celebrate the upcoming anniversary of his last show here because that's gone on. You know, we're the mom show because we talked about Sweet Alice and Gene Grody was here. And
and my mom did confirm she's seen The Godfather.
See? Where is this? Sweet Alice should be producing this show. But she's got to run rain on ride rain on Shooter. Has he added to his pelt collection?
I haven't heard Sweet any. Alice. I don't think so. Well, I was telling you during one of the breaks the it's not as big of a problem season. During the winter. You know they're not because the garden doesn't have anything in it, so there's nothing. They're sticking to the woods this time of year.
Okay. Well, we were the mom show, and we are the mom show, the Wake and Bake Club, and Saturday Suckage, and the Mondegreen show as well. And the Mondegreen, as we were discussing last week, some of the better known ones. A Mondegreen is a misheard lyric, song lyric. So we brought up one last week that was the best known, I don't know if we say most famous, but it was Elton John's Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza.
Tony Danza, yeah.
That's what it is.
So, I do know at least one friend of mine that did that 100% thought that was the line.
That was the line.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it would gain fame. The reason I guess it would be the most famous is it was Phoebe on Friends sang it. And so it gained a much broader popularity. There have been other misheard lyrics that people have traded throughout the years, but that was the best. So Courtney Cox is telling E, she's got a new show out, The Shining Veil. Courtney Cox, played Monica, is talking about she actually had Ed Sheeran over for dinner and Ed Sheeran's friend by the name of Elton John joined them. She wanted to learn that song. She got a crash course from a piano teacher And she did sing for Elton John at this dinner party at her place. Out goes the piano teacher. In comes Elton John and Ed Sheeran and Brandi Carlile. And they do that. And they sing the Mondegree. They sing Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza.
That's pretty cool.
I just wanted to follow that up.
I like that.
All right, Saturday Suckage. And nothing could suck more than we're being my writing sidecars. The guy's never seen Godfather. I'm just
speechless.
Stunned that you got in the building at all. All right, so at least say something positive, like Bulls basketball, 6:45 tonight on the Score.
It's only positive if they win.
No, it's positive they're going to be broadcasting on the Score.
You
go. 6:40, right, Chuck's pregame show, 6:45. Tip off at 7 right here on the Score. We'll take a break. We will come back with Steve Stone. He was on Inside the Clubhouse. He was talking about the Sox and why you should be talking about the Sox and talking about the World Series in the same breath again. Steve Rosenblum and the sadly lacking Trash Panda. Chicago Sports Radio 670, the Score. Welcome in, welcome back. Yes, yeah, several textures got us with the, hit us up with the other popular Mondegreen misheard song lyrics, Creedence, Bad Moon Rising, There's a Bathroom on the Right.
See, I never heard that one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. That's one of the more famous. We have others. We can bring them to you later. But now, here's what we're going to bring you. We're going to bring you Thank You. Thank you, Trash Panda, for riding shotgun here. And
you're welcome.
Exposing yourself as
a fraud.
Never seen The Godfathers. And oh my God. And your mom has. Sweet Alice has. So you better catch up to her. I want to thank Megan Montemurro, who joined us talking Cubs, and Mark Rohde, who is on the show, but not on the show, but he was on the show talking Bears and Cats and overnights, and Rick Camp, who is defending Culver's. And that's who we would go to war for. And the Bulls go to war tonight. Pregame show, Chuck is on at 6:45, tip off at 7. Earlier today, Steve Stone was on the Inside Clubhouse show with Bruce Levine and David Haw, and he was talking about the Sox. He was talking about the Sox. So we'll bring you that, and if nobody important listened to the show, we'll bring you another version of Saturday Suckage next week. Thank you for listening. Here is Steve Stone on Inside the Clubhouse.
How you been, Stoney?
Well, I've been waiting patiently to see the day when we would or could announce that there's baseball again, and now we can certainly do that. So I think everybody who loves this game, loves the tradition of baseball, understands that it's been interwoven into our society for many years. It's a very happy time for a lot of folks.
And the White Sox are back in camp, and that is where they belong, Steve, and it's so much fun to be able to talk about something other than the competitive balance tax. So as we turn our attention toward Glendale, Arizona, and we see the White Sox returning for a season that Rick Hahn says is committed to, obviously, winning it all in 2022, what's your overall general synopsis of where the Sox are at this point and what they need to do to put themselves in a better position to do just that?
Well, we're going to know a whole lot more when this accelerated free agent acquisition period and perhaps a trade or two period ends. But the Sox are starting out with a whole lot more talent than a lot of other teams. And so if you're starting out there, certainly you don't have as far to go as these other ball clubs that are trying to assemble a great deal of talent. I think anybody who has studied the Sox over the last year specifically will realize there's a couple of things they would like to get. They would certainly like to get a backup catcher. There's a few teams that are looking for those. They would like to get a second baseman. There's a few teams that are looking for those. I think every team would tell you that they'd like to add another pitcher, whether it's in the bullpen or the starting rotation. I think that a lot of people who feel that the Sox really need an outfielder, I don't think they've taken a look at the potential, at least, of what Andrew Vaughn looks like, what Gavin Sheets looks like, what Adam Engel plays like when he is healthy. I think that if you prioritize and the money you're expending, you would think that would be that would be down the road a bit if you use that at all. I'd like to see the younger guys have an opportunity to see if they can flourish. I think they showed signs last year of being very good at times, and I love the future outlook of Andrew Vaughn. I think that Gavin Sheets can certainly do a whole lot. He gives you a lot of power from the left side. So I think that, along with Adam Engel, who is getting better as a hitter and looks to be able to play defense with anybody in the league, I think we're in pretty good shape outfield-wise, but we'll leave that up to Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams.
Steve, pleasure having you on, first of all. It's a pleasure having baseball back. What a relief it is to talk about the game that we all love. So thank you for joining us. And my question to you is, having pitched in the big leagues for as long as you did and as accomplished as you did, is 24 spring training games, actually 23 spring training days for a pitching staff, enough to get ready to throw 5 or 6 innings once we start playing baseball for the Chicago White Sox on April the 8th in Detroit?
Well, Bruce, look, it's not ideal, and the way I point it out to people is, in a non-strike or non-lockout situation, if it was ideal to have a little less than a month of spring training, then they would have had a little less than a month of spring training. But in those situations where there is no work stoppage, they have 6 weeks of spring training, which I think is ideal for pitchers. And I am hoping, and I think most teams are, one, they're entertaining the idea of a 6-man starting rotation. I played golf yesterday with Joe Madden. The Angels are going to have a 6-man starting rotation. I think a lot of teams will go to that. Also, there's a lot of teams that will go to openers. We saw Tampa Bay popularize the opener. I think there's a lot of teams that will go to that. They won't ask pitchers to go deep in their starts to at least start the season. But there's something else that people don't think about very much, and that is what we've talked about over the years, which is the dead arm period that comes to pitchers in spring training. It usually comes about the fourth start or so, and what happens is you just don't have the life in your arm that you normally would have. And if you're in spring training and you go through that dead arm period, which every pitcher does, you're relaxed because it's spring training, and you just throw, and yeah, you don't have the same hop on the fastball, you don't have the same break on the slider or curveball. Nothing really is working for you, but you're in spring training, so you're relaxed. Well, with an accelerated spring training, what's going to happen to a lot of pitchers is they're going to go through that same dead arm period because an arm's an arm. The arm doesn't know about lockouts or strikes or work delays or pushing back or accelerating spring training. The arm is the arm. They're going to go through that dead arm period, only it's going to be in the season. And when it's in the season, you can't really relax. It's different. You push yourself, and I'm afraid that there will be some injuries that wouldn't have come had we had a longer spring training. I understand the economics of the situation. However, I also understand what it takes for a pitcher to get entirely ready for what is, and I think will be, a 162-game schedule. And I fear for the injuries, not only for pitchers, but I fear for some injuries for position players. I don't know how much they were working out. I suspect that these guys were working out at various sites around Florida and Arizona. I think the position players, certainly the hitters, will be ready to go. But when you go back to the cold weather, and we will go back to cold weather, whether it's April 8th or March 31st, it's still going to be cold in the places where the Sox play. I think that that especially guys who run real well, they have to be careful about first-step acceleration. That's going to be a factor. So will we have injuries? Yes, we will. We always have injuries anyway. But I think the accelerated spring lends itself to a few more injuries that we wouldn't otherwise have. And for contending teams, if they have one of their top two or three starters go down, that's going to be a big problem because it's hard to fill that gap.
That's a familiar voice of the great Steve Stone joining us here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Steve, have to ask you about the Carlos Rodon deal. 2 years, $44 million with the Giants. Number one, what was your level of surprise? But secondly, at that price, did it make sense for the White Sox to sit out, or do you think that was an affordable price for the White Sox to try to, you know, bring Carlos Rodon back?
Well, it's a twofold question. I was I was called by a San Francisco radio station yesterday to comment on that, and I said, no, when I go on the radio, I'm going to go on with a Chicago station first, which is why I'm here and not commenting in San Francisco. But what I said to the guy was very simple. I said, look, Carlos is a wonderful guy, and he is a great competitor, and I wish him only the best. However, with Carlos, in any discussion you ever have, it's can he stay healthy? If you take a look at his history, the answer would be no. When he is healthy, he's as good as anybody around. The first half of last year, he was absolutely unbeatable. I mean, I hadn't seen stuff like that for a long time, since maybe Carlton or Guidry from the left side. It was unhittable. That slider was unbelievable. The fastball was hopping. Everything was great. But as so often happens with him, he had some physical problems last year. They had to shut him down for a bit. That's a great place to pitch. San Francisco might be a terrific place for him, because pitchers excel there, and San Francisco's had a history of bringing in guys who do very well the first year or so, and sometimes they let them go after that. Is it affordable? I don't think the Sox wanted to go $44 million for a couple of years. I believe Scott Boras is his agent. I applaud him for getting what he got for him, and it certainly gives Carlos a chance to be independently wealthy for the foreseeable future. But I don't think it's something, personally, I wouldn't have done that. And I really like Carlos. I respect what he can do.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.